Sunday Meditation, January 22nd, 1995. Incarnation into various races and cultures on this planet. Ra suggested that there is both a racial mind and a planetary mind. And we're wondering if people tend to incarnate only in one race or culture and move as a group or a unit within that race or culture and maintain their identities from incarnation to incarnation as members of a particular race or culture or tribe, or if people are more likely to incarnate across racial, cultural, tribal boundaries and have a multitude of different types of experiences, and if this experience is what the soul experience. Does the soul experience many different kinds of racial, tribal, cultural incarnations, or does the soul have identification with particular races or cultures?
We are those of Akuha. Greetings in the love and the light of the one infinite creator. Our thanks to this circle of seekers for calling us to your session this day. We are most beholden and thankful for you who seek and by your seeking serve. For we have no ultimate answers, but rather are partners with you in refining those questions which lie ultimately shrouded for both of us in mystery. It is the continued focus upon these questions that create the vibration that is purified desire and the truth that is a purified emotion. This day you would seek knowledge of how the spirit moves through the incarnative process with regard to what populations it may choose to be a portion of. And you ask that which has not a difficult answer, but rather a clear but complex answer. Thusly, we shall need to work at several levels. Not that one is deeper or more spiritual than another, but that there are various facets of a relationship which we shall view with you. The first portion of the discussion will revolve about the basic spirit, or what you would call soul. Each spirit is in essence the same. For each spirit is a mobilized, potentiated phase of infinity, or an infinite nature or self. This basic self is one, and this is true across lines of race, nation, planet, galaxy, and creation. Each seeming monad, or unit, or spirit, or soul, is an holographic representation of one original, unified thought, logos, or force that we have given the name of love. Each is love. Each was always love. Each shall always be love. The creation began and shall end. Your galaxy began and shall sooner end. Your star system began and yet sooner shall end. Your planets began and shall end, and each entity began its manifestation and shall shed it ere soon. That which seems different and unique is an illusion. It is easier to speak this unity than to communicate that unity. However, we shall pause for a moment that each may sink into love, and we shall attempt to aid in that feeling, that you may in some small wise find this feeling within that is unity. We are those of Kuo. We are those of Kuo. Feel that wind of spirit that has allowed you the creation of your unique personality. Personality can be seen to be shallow. That creature of one incarnation. However, the more basic personality is the child of many, many incarnations. And so, as with all that is manifest, you as an unique personality first found life a thing of reality by virtue of being slowly more and more aware of not yourself, but your surroundings. And the process of individuation began. Imagine that you, spirit just born, sprung from the Creator's fertile love, sailed through many, many universes, and saw many, many beautiful stars, constellations, vibrations of beingness, and through many, many densities, many, many experiences, you moved that infant soul until there was a choice, a preference, a bias. This star, this constellation, this planet. And one day you were water or earth or rock, or rain, or wind, or sand. And your incarnations had begun. Was this unity then forgotten? Not in the deep mind. This essential unity remains that truth which for all moving through the densities cannot be denied. For it is felt within as a heart's truth. It is not that you are like others. Rather, you are all that there is. This is your foundation. This is that plinth upon which you build, that creation which turns stone to statue and form to life. This is the rock upon which you may stand. You are one. The second way which we wish to look at this question is that way of naming. We need not go through that process by which you have come to third density. You may simply accept, if you will, for the purpose of this working, that you indeed did arise in consciousness through various forms, in first and in second density, that is, as elements, and as plants and animals. And then came to the dawn of third density experience. Once again, you may have wandered far from sun to sun, looking for third density. Or you may have chosen this particular planet to begin third density with. Choices are possible, not conscious ones as you know them, but rather like a calling, like however you chose, the planetary influence and the racial influence with which you began the long process of learning through incarnations remains that which has had the first biasing effect, presenting the first catalyst giving you that turning of the archetypical mind's themes and biases, which are most deeply rooted within. For the Logos expressing as your sun body touches each planet differently. And indeed, each a portion of a planet somewhat differently. So that large masses of entities which are of a single racial origin or national origin may be more probably biased similarly than those whose minds contain etchings of another set of planetary, racial, or other influences. Thusly, there is, to some extent, the experiencing of like calling like that expresses within the conscious mind as a feeling of comfort and of being at home with certain people, that is, with certain national groups of people, or certain religious or spiritual groups of entities. Within these large divisions, those within the same body of influences begin the work of learning what love truly is. And in doing this together, over many lifetimes, ways are created, and over more and more time, embellished upon and strengthened, so that each culture, shall we call it, with its characteristic ways of dealing with the ever-eternal situations common to all of humankind, become more and more handy to the mind and useful to the common sense, everyday spirit. Just as national or spiritual groups of entities tend to speak one language or a language in a characteristic sense, so do different cultures have unspoken language and ways of communicating which do not travel well. The one known as a Pupak, for instance, spoke earlier to this group concerning an American who does not take the hint and stop being a nuisance. For this entity, brought up within a culture which simply shuts the door and does not answer the communication by telephone or by mail, has no innate ability and certainly no desire to leap across the cultural divide which separates this entity from one who has been reared within a culture in which hospitality is an holy thing, and the bad company must needs figure out by hint and the tone of words that he has overstepped the bounds of courtesy. Thusly, entities do indeed often incarnate again and again within one planetary and one racial or spiritual group. Thirdly, the thrust of the question we believe centers about whether there is a spiritual value of one culture against or relative to the spiritual value of another. And so we must ask you to, again, wipe the mind clear. Now, each of you within this circle has experienced incarnation with a substantial percentage of incarnations upon one third density planet, and within that planetary influence, one nation, spiritual, or other group of that kind. However, in the fullness of time, as entities grow, as they wake up, spiritually speaking, and discover that there is much more to know about love than has been understood, shall we say, by any one group, these entities naturally choose to begin the process of gleaning from other cultures, other nations, and other spiritual groups those subtleties of insight, those inner structures that lie behind the spoken word and a conceived thought, each of which educates and trains the mind in certain patterns. Each pattern has its place and is its equally valuable teacher. Just as the physical entity which you now experience yourself as wishes to travel and broaden the understanding of what humankind is, so the soul or spirit chooses again and again to travel in other shoes, other bodies, other races, creeds, and color. For each has something to offer. To be humble in one culture educates. To be humble in another is a completely different education. To be proud in one society is one kind of distortion of self, unlike pride seen from the subtly but crystallinely different colorations of another culture's way of pride. We ask you then in this third way of seeing to imagine, if you will, the vast extent of time and space within which the soul first becomes familiar with one family at a time. Then, after many, many incarnations, one larger family, one national or spiritual group, and then one begins to travel, choosing those situations which shall fill out and energize that awareness gleaned so far. For in all of these learnings, in all of these environments, the spirit within expresses its essence in a desire for a return to the awareness of unity, which was life and shall again be life without manifestation. The manifest spirit yearns endlessly for that zero within which all is one. For that and only that is the true nature of all who may hear or read these words. There is one original thought Each of you is that. Each of you has wandered far. Each of you seeks with grace and rhythm to complete the journey so long ago begun and perfectly encapsulated within each incarnation as that spiritual hunger within which always seeks the source of life, the truth of being. As the harvest approaches, you well may find yourself within a family which cuts across all lines. For again, like calls like. Certainly those who are wanderers are one such group. Those who have wandered from different planets to this one may seem obviously different from each other as they have incarnated in various races and so forth. Yet that bond of shared experience, shared hunger, and the biases that lie beneath words create spiritually oriented families which are service oriented and offer service instinctively not only to each other but always there is the desire, however well or ill nurtured, to reach the hand of service to any other who may be served. It is in these often unusually varied groups, such as your own, that the heart of the lessons of love may begin again to become unified as each soul now has sufficient experience in seeking the truth of self and the way of service to find commonalities that move beyond race, religion, nation, and culture. And instead, find residence in a common foundation of self within which that deep mind, which is the archetypical mind of self, has had sufficient experience in combining self with other selves across all boundaries. That the unity beneath all distortions is dimly sensed. Yet even the we correct this instrument, yet even the dimmest of inklings of this underlying unity. Act like the explosion or the fireworks, tossing the entity experiencing this unity into a kind of excitement that only the experience of love itself can engender. And once this underlying unity is sensed personally, the days of the personality that you now think yourself to be are numbered. The soul which has awakened to the truths that lie beyond the archetypes now have the energy to work through those rich sources within of wisdom and truth. Now have the sufficient reason to attempt to penetrate each and every archetype, becoming one who can assume characteristics which are archetypical in a cleanly pure way, finding within these time-worn structures not only the elegance of internal logic within these systems, but also the doors which shall open when one comes at last to a realization that is at the end of each and every archetype or leitmotif. For instance, in many, many experiences of grief, it is an experience, and then an experience, and so forth. The experiences add up. They are as they are. But in the course of a million incarnations, at some point, the pure and undiluted tone, which is grief within you, sounds. And suddenly you have experienced And suddenly you have experienced for the first time a true grief, a grief which lights up, grief incandescently. This tone sounds throughout all of the infinite creation and is a thing of utmost beauty. And this rich experience retires within that soul the need to experiment with grief, for it has been purely experienced and is no longer that which must be studied. Is there a spiritual connotation then to races? All races have great spiritual treasures to share, both what you would call positively and negatively. In all things, however, the spirit of each remains equal, and thus all cultures, all nations, all groups are equal. All contain the same love. You shall experience that which you choose to until nothing calls you into flesh. We would, at this time, urge you to gaze gently upon all beings, and to give to each your best attempt at service, not weighing one against another, yet at the same time, we do encourage you to follow the heart. For when like does find like, then learning may be swifter for both. And the group which learns together becomes a blessing not only to itself and its members, but as it reaches out from that home within, a certain and sure blessing to humankind. At this time, we would transfer to the one known as Jim. We are those of Kuol and leave this instrument in love and in light.
I am Kuang. And greet each again in love and in light. We are privileged at this time to offer ourselves in the attempt to speak to any further queries which those present may have for us. Is there another query?
Yes, I would like to ask a question which was put to me by another person. The question is about the situation where a person feels very strongly what we may call love or certain attraction to another entity, but that person doesn't have the same feelings. Could you please shed some insight about this situation, what it may mean, how could the two entities help each other to reach a certain level of harmony?
I am Kuang, and believe we have the gist of your query, my sister. Please query further if we do not satisfy you. If entities have a desire to experience a love to the best of their understanding of this concept, then the desire will be to give love without expectation of return. For that which is love is that which gives rather than that which takes. Though it is true that love, when fully experienced, is that which both gives and receives. However, the concept which you have spoken of here is that which is felt by one and not another. And in this case, there is the participation in what is felt to be love by one and not the other. Therefore, the one who feels the love, if it be love indeed, then this entity would desire to give to the other that which the other wished. And this entity would seek, then, to know the desires of the other. And once having ascertained what these desires were, would bend every effort to satisfy these desires. For entities to truly know love, it is necessary to surrender whatever idea the self may have as regards the nature of love, and then to be moved by the power of love. In most cases, in our opinion, upon your planet at this time, entities perceive only portions of love, those portions which are more to their desires and definitions, those aspects of love which are more likely to feed their self-identified needs. And therefore, the experience of love is only a partial. If one wishes to truly be of service to another by loving another, one must determine what service is desired by the one loved. Is there another query, my sister? I am Kuo, and we thank you, my sister. Is there another query?
I'd like to follow it just a little further. If a person who doesn't love wishes to serve the person who loves, the surface impulse is to say the way to serve that person is to allow that person to love you, allow that person to fulfill his desire. Now, practically, I feel this is a wrong answer. But I don't know how to untangle service and free will and just how to put it clearly, you know? Could you comment in a way that clarifies?
Hi. And though we are aware of your query, my sister, we also agree that in the situation in which you are describing, there is some complexity and lack of clarity which makes a clear and definite answer difficult. For there are circumstances within your culture which require certain behaviors and commitments that put a kind of boundary on love so that love may be experienced more purely by those who are entered into the mated relationship that you call marriage. Thus, love is not freely given to all, but finds the need to be given in such a manner within boundaries, shall we say, which entities have agreed to. Thus, in a mated relationship, when an entity moves beyond the boundary of the relationship to share what is perceived as love with a person other than the mate, then it is that the difficulties and the confusions arise, for it is not the accepted practice within most of your cultures for entities to share the full ramifications of love with any but the mate. Thus, it is a situation in which each entity must use the personal and most profound, shall we say, moral standard to judge what is acceptable to be shared of love with one who is not the mate. We find that the purest form of love, which requires no return or action of any kind, may be shared with all, for this is the love of the Creator within the heart of each for every other portion of the Creator that is recognized. However, when entities find a need to make conditions and requirements and desire certain returns from their expression of love to another, that is not within the mated relationship. Then we have the confusions of which we spoke. In this instance, we cannot give direct advice, for this is, in our opinion, an infringement upon free will. But we can suggest that entities who are in any relationship with another look deep within the heart to see where love resides for another, and find within the self the small voice that is speaking the known truth, shall we say. For each entity knows beyond all rationalization what is love, what is its truest expression in each situation. And while recognizing all cultural boundaries, will be able to effect this true loving, even if the true loving is to reject a portion of that which is offered from another. Is there a further query, my sister?
I'm just still working on this one point, and if you will forgive me, I would like to go a little further. Is that all right?
I am Luquo, and we are quite ready to speak to any query, my sister.
Thank you. This, the way it feels to me, reminds me of when Don was asking Ra how he could serve our fifth density negative friend. He wanted to find some way of being of service to this friend that wanted to stop our communications with Ra. And Ra couldn't get through to him that the very essence of what the service that they wished from Don was to stop the contact. And besides stopping the contact, there wasn't any other service that they actually wanted. They wanted that object. It just feels like with this between the teacher and Poopy, what the teacher wants infringes on free will and is a desire for an object rather than a love of a person. Because in getting what he would want, he's walking all over the truth and asking Poopy to be untrue to the feelings within, which say this is not the one. I don't know. I just don't know any good way to line it out in a simple way. But it feels like kind of the same situation. If you would comment on that to any extent, I think that's the end of my thoughts on the subject. Thank you.
I, well, and we would agree that this subject is one which requires a good deal of thought. Indeed, this is our recommendation, that the meditative state is the means by which the true voice of each may be heard, and the most appropriate expression of love experienced. We realize that there is a certain purity to the naivete that the one known as Don expressed in the queries to those of Ra concerning serving the negatively oriented entity. And there is a certain purity and naivete in the situation of which you speak, if the one known as Apupak would receive the offerings of love from the entity that is in question. However, there is also the need to respond to the cultural practices that we have mentioned and the need to seek within for the deepest form of service, for all services are not equal. This was the point that those of Ra were attempting to make to the one known as Don. What is the deepest service? To simply open the self to receiving love from any entity that would offer it in whatever form the entity would offer? Or is there the need to consider other ramifications? Is the highest form of service to allow an entity to break its word to another? Is the highest form of service to simply reject another entity? Is there the need to find another means by which love may be expressed? These are queries we know that each has considered this day. And these are queries which we may not answer for you, for there is value in finding answers for yourself that we would not take from you.
Yes.
Thus, we must bait our answers as we have. But we may recommend to each the value of seeking within meditation the answers for the self, from the self. For we assure you that they are there within your very heart. And though the answer may be difficult to put into experience and into action, there is value in so doing. Is there another query at this time?
Only my face.
We are those of Quo. And we add our thanks to the pot. We are most grateful, my friends, for your invitation to us this day. We know that the struggle to be human and to move in flesh is not easy. We salute your valiant efforts. And we remind each of you that there are truly no mistakes. There are only opportunities to learn and to know the Creator. Undertake each opportunity with the full gusto of the life that moves through you and brings the energy of the Creator into your being as you pass through your daily round of activities. We would, at this time, take our leave of this group and this instrument, thanking each again for the great opportunity of sharing our opinions with you. We are known to you as those of Quo, and leave each in the love and in the light of the one infinite Creator. Adonai, my friends, Adonai.
who that teacher, Scott, and Ethel, Judy, Ophelia, Spider Rainbow, Leona, Wilhelmina, Billy, Sally, Geraldine, Bean family, the Kirtley family, Dana, Lynn, Mary, Nikki, Miss Cole, the cause of peace in our beloved planet. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one. I am the circle and you are healing me. I am the circle and you are healing me. United people, we are one. United people, we are one.